12 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. And Sherry, I appreciate that so very much. Run to Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 12. The pastor got a frantic phone call. Young lady named Sabrina. He could barely understand what she was trying to say to him through the sobs and through the sorrow in her voice. And she said, "I've got to see you." So he said, "Fine, no problem, come by. We'll sit down and talk." A few minutes later, the door, he said, "Come on in." She came in, let the door open. Secretary heard what was going on, and she comes walking in. She says, "Pastor, I'm going to die." Now here she is, 24 years old, just graduated from college, was teaching her kindergarten class, and she loved her students. The very first class she ever taught, loved her students. She had met a young man who loved the Lord, and she loved the Lord, the young man that she had dreamed of. And now she was sitting at the pastor's desk, and she was inconsolable, sobbing. "They've told me I've got cancer and that I've got a month to live. What am I going to do, Pastor?" And she broke down crying. Just totally sobbing. I'm talking about the heaving sobs. After a few moments, she finally cried herself out. And she raised her head up, and the pastor looked at her and said, "Sabrina, let me ask you a question. How many opinions have you got?" She said, "I just got one, but it's my doctor. He's the one I've had all my life." The pastor said, "Listen to me. I understand you trust your doctor, but your doctor is only a man. I want you to go find another doctor." And he gave her a card, written down some information, said, "Go check with this doctor." She had said, "Well, Pastor, I know I'm already going to die. I've already gotten my funeral written out. Here's what I want to be sung. Here's what I want to be said. Here's where I want to be buried. I've got my dress ready to go. I've just come to tell you that I'm going to die." Pastor said, "I understand that, but I want you to go and talk to another doctor." She said, but Pastor, I already got the test results, and here they are." And she showed him the results. "It says I have cancer. Have you not been listening to me?" The pastor said, "Listen, I understand, but I want you to go get another opinion." She said, "You are out of your mind. The doctors have told me I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to die. And you have no sorrow and pity for me, do you?" She got up and slammed the chair back and went out and slammed the door and said, "I'll never, ever see you again." A month went by. Pastor didn't hear from her. 2 months went by, didn't hear a word. 3 months go by and a phone rings. "Pastor, Sabrina. Sabrina, how are you?" "I'm doing fine, Pastor. I want to apologize to you." "Why?" "Because I finally got over my anger and I went to see the doctor. The one you recommended to me. And he told me I don't have cancer. He told me it was a false positive. We've been listening to the reports of medical doctors, not only about the COVID-19, but all kinds of different tests and exams and things. False positives. Been told one thing, but it's been completely opposite. False positives. This morning, I don't want to necessarily talk about COVID-19. I don't want to talk about cancer. I don't want to talk about those issues this morning. But I want to talk about the issue of salvation. I want to talk about the fact that there are some people in this world who have a false positive, who they believe they've done the right thing and gotten saved, and they really haven't. You say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're speaking to a room full of saved people." Well, guess what? I can't assume that you're saved, and you can't assume that I'm saved. You can't look at somebody's soul by looking on the outside. Now, you can tell if somebody knows Jesus Christ their Savior by the way they lived their life. But in all honesty, only you and only I know, and God really knows if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But sometimes people have a false positive test result to this. And I want to examine someone today who had that very thing. Hebrews chapter number 12. Now, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and here in chapter number 12, we get to a part where we have a false positive results here. Verse number 15, we've already seen, well, in verse 11, talk about walking in faith and talking about following Christ and talking about, hey, it's going to be okay, and talk about how we need to live in holiness and we need to live in peace with all people. Now the writer is addressing the Christians and trying to get them to understand how important it is to live for Christ. Verse number 15, he says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He says, listen, you need to live this life. You need to show people the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be genuine in how you live. You need to be holy. You need to be loving. You need to be kind. You need to be trusting. You need to do all these things for one specific purpose, that people may see the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know Him as Savior. Brothers and sisters, that's why we exist. We don't exist just to take up space. We exist as believers. The reason God has left us on this earth is to be the example of the Lord Jesus Christ so that others may come to be saved. That's why we're still here. And so he says, listen, I want you to look diligently on how you live. I want you to understand the reason. He says, because listen, there's a root of bitterness that spring up in people when we don't bring glory to God. And he's referring back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 29, where the people were running away from God, and they got a root of bitterness in them because some people claim to love God and some people claim to do the right thing, but they were doing the complete opposite, and it began to have a root of bitterness in their lives. See, I've talked to many people down through the years, and I've asked them, say, why don't you go to church anymore? Why don't you read your Bible anymore? Why don't you? Well, because a deacon in a church did this or did that to me, and so I don't want to go to church anymore. Or a pastor or a pastor's wife or the pianist or a church member did something wrong and hurt their feelings, and so they got a root of bitterness in them, and so they refuse to serve the Lord anymore. They refuse to gather like God has told us to do. They find a reason and an excuse, blaming it on somebody else. And sometimes that's a genuine thought. Sometimes it is because somebody done something wrong and drove them away from the church. And it's wicked and it's wrong. But brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. Don't be that person. Don't be the one that causes somebody else to leave. Don't be the one that doesn't show them Jesus. Instead, you show them the things of Satan. Don't be that person. Because the truth of the matter is, we've all been hurt in church. How many of you have been hurt by somebody in church before? Most of us have. We've had somebody say something to us or not say something to us or do something, or the pastor has put his foot in his mouth. That would never happen. And we got our feelings hurt, and therefore we're not going to go to church anymore. Brothers and sisters, what the writer of Hebrews is trying to help us understand, listen, do what you do, but make sure what you do doesn't point people away from God, but instead makes it point them to God. And then he says this, verse number 16, he says, also, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He says, listen, because there might be somebody that we encounter that's going to be just like Esau. See, Esau proclaimed to be a believer in the holy God and the one and true living God, but in reality, his actions proved that wrong. Let's look at that example. Go to Genesis with me if you would. Keep your finger here in Hebrews, or put a toe here, or put some kind of a marker, put your neighbor's finger there, whatever it takes, in Hebrews, and go to the book of Genesis with me, if you would. Genesis chapter number 27. Genesis chapter number 27. Let's look at the story of Esau. Let's look at what happened when it's referring to as Esau did. Genesis chapter number 27. And we're going to look and start at verse number 30. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 30. Now Jacob has just pulled a fast one. He has just decided that he's going to go in and he's going to steal the birthright. But the problem was that Esau had already given up the birthright many, many days before this. Esau had come in from the field before this happened. He had come in from the field and he was hungry. And he didn't have any food made, but Jacob did. And Esau looked at Jacob and said, "Jacob, that smells so good. Jacob, I want some of that. Jacob, please give me some of that stew." And Jacob said, "I'll tell you what, Esau, how hungry are you?" And Esau said, "I'm so hungry I could eat a horse." How many of you have been so hungry you could eat a horse? He said, "Brother Brian, I'm there right now. We'll be done here in a minute." And so he was so hungry he could eat a horse. And Jacob said, "Well, if you're that hungry, Esau, I'll give you some of this stew if you just simply give me your birthright." Now see, Esau was born first and then Jacob was born after him immediately. But the way the laws went and the way tradition was that the firstborn, they got the main part of the inheritance. They got the rulership and the leadership of the family when the father died. And so to have a birthright, that was some big deal. That was really important. And Esau had that birthright. But Jacob was a supplanter. He was a conniver. He was a deceiver. And I'm not lifting up Jacob, said he did anything right this morning. We're not talking about Jacob, though. And Esau was so hungry, he said, "Okay, Jacob, I'm so hungry, I'll give you the rights of the birthright. Just give me some stew." Now, wait a minute. That's a high cost. How many of you read it's a very high cost for a bit of stew? See, but Esau didn't care at the moment. Esau was so enamored with just eating. He was so hungry. The birthright meant nothing to him. Now, here's the point I'm trying to drive across. How much does salvation mean to you this morning? How much does your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ really mean to you? Is it just an asbestos fire suit? Is it just something to keep you out of hell? Is that the only reason that you said a few words and said a little prayer and said a little this and a little that and you got dunked? And that's the only reason you got saved so that you didn't go to hell? Well, that's important. But what does salvation really mean to you? Are you willing to give it up for a taste of the world? See, that was the problem. Esau didn't care about the birthright. It meant nothing to him. He assumed he could do anything he wanted. All he wanted was just a little bit of temporary pleasure. So it comes out now that a few days pass, a few months pass, a few years pass, and Jacob finds an opportunity. Now, Isaac had no idea that this was going to take place. Now, Isaac was the father. In Isaac's mind, Esau was still the firstborn and he still had the birthright. He doesn't know that Esau gave it up to Jacob. So Jacob comes in and convinces Isaac that he is Esau and fools Isaac because Isaac is blind and he's old. And Esau is out hunting, and so Isaac comes in and convinces Jacob comes in and convinces Isaac, all these names together. Jacob comes in and convinces Isaac that he's Esau. And sure enough, Isaac blesses Jacob and says, "Okay, Jacob, I'm giving you the birthright," thinking that he's Esau. Now, verse number 30, it says this. "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac," he left, "that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me.'" See, Esau's all ready to get the blessing now. He is ready for Isaac to put his hand on his head and to bless him and give him his birthright. But he doesn't know that Jacob's already been there. He doesn't know that Jacob has slipped in under the door. Verse number 32, "Isaac, his father, says unto him, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau.'" Not even Isaac could tell the difference. Isaac didn't know who he was. He thought this is an imposter. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and he said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of it all before you came and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." He says, "Wait a minute. I thought you were here before. What are you doing?" Isaac was fooled. He thought Jacob was Esau. Now, how many of you know that this is a pretty dysfunctional family right here? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have been like this, all right? I'm not going to do that. But this is a pretty messed up situation now. Here's Esau. He's already given. See, he forgot that he sold his birthright. Here is Isaac. Thought he was blessing Esau to begin with, but he was really blessing Jacob. And now here's Esau, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so he's upset. Look what Esau says. Verse number 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Your brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." Verse 36, "Is it not rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times? He took away my birthright." Now wait a minute, did Jacob take away Esau's birthright? Who gave Esau's birthright away? Esau did. Esau says, "And behold, now he has taken away my blessing, and he has said he has not reserved a blessing for me." He says, "Dad, I can't believe this. Jacob has gotten me twice. He took my birthright. Now he's taken my blessing." See, here's the situation. Esau is now upset and crying because he lost something valuable to him that really wasn't valuable to him. See, he's crying, but he's crying for the wrong reason. You know why he's crying? Because he got tricked, and he didn't do the tricking. He got caught, not because he did the wrong thing. See, there's such a thing as being a false repentance. There's such a thing as crying and admitting that you did wrong and saying that I'm sorry, but you're sorry because you got caught, not sorry because you did it. That's what Esau's going through right now. He's upset and he's crying and he's saying, "Oh, Dad, my brother has stolen this from me." No, Esau gave it up on purpose. Now, we need to understand the connotation of this, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to try to fool you, and I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. I'm not trying to do anything at all to make you say that you're not saved. But let me ask you a question. On that day that you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, did you really? Or did you just do it because everybody else was doing it? Did you just say a few little words and say a little prayer because you were pressured and because you felt like you would disappoint your mom and daddy or your grandma and grandpa? Did you come forward one day somewhere and sign a card? Did you get baptized in a bunch of water because everybody else was doing it and you didn't understand what you were doing it and you wanted to be part of the in crowd and you had a false positive? Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ really your Savior? Well, see, Brother Brian, I'm here in church, so that means He is. No, it doesn't. I'm glad you're here, and I want you to keep coming. But the thing is Jesus Christ really your Savior? Or did you just say a few little words one day? See, Esau was upset, but he wasn't upset because he lost the birthright. He was upset because he lost the benefits that went with the birthright. Now, go back to Hebrews with me real quick. Look what it says. Verse number 17. It says, "For you know how that afterward," after he lost that birthright, had the confrontation, "when he would have inherited the blessing, He was rejected. Why? For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He cried and he howled and he begged. But it says he did not find it. You know why? Because his repentance meant nothing. He had the tears, but he didn't have the repentance. The repentance is this, brothers and sisters, turning away from something and turning to something else. It means a complete 180. The only way that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the only way that you can know that you have salvation is you turn away from your own desire. You turn away from your own salvation, trying to make it yourself and do it yourself, and you humbly come before God and say, "Oh God, I need Jesus to save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of their parents shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the pastor shall be saved." By which name shall we be saved, folks? Come on, we're in church. You can say it. Jesus Christ. You must trust Jesus Christ. And down through the years and down through the decades, there have been millions of people. Yea, I say millions of people who have a false positive. They said the words, they even got baptized, they even joined a church, but they really were not saved. And I'm afraid that's prevalent in our society today. Now, how dare you judge us? I'm not judging anybody. I hope you're saved. You look saved. Most of you smell saved this morning. But brothers and sisters, is Christ your Savior? That's what matters. Esau looked the part. He cried the part. He acted the part. But inside, there was really no salvation. He didn't care about the birthright. He cared about losing the benefits. Do you see that? Look what it says. For we know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why was he rejected? Because he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought it, and he cried, but his tears meant nothing. You remember that day? Do you remember that hour, that moment, when you trusted Christ as your Savior? And you asked him, "Oh God, please forgive me. Oh God, please, I need Jesus Christ to save my soul. I can't save myself." Do you remember that day? Did you mean it? Because if you did, hallelujah! It meant something to you. Does it still mean that same thing now? See, we get so sucked into the things of the world sometimes that we lose that tenderness and that love and that anxiousness that we got when we first trusted Christ as our Savior. How do you know that, Brother Brian? Because I'm the poster boy. It's happened to me. And believe it or not, there's been times in my life that I've had to go back and make sure I'm saved. I have. I've had to get back down on my knees literally and figure, "Oh God, please, I want to make sure Jesus Christ is my Savior." "You're the pastor. You shouldn't have any..." My goodness, I'm made out of the same mud you are. I'm not any better than you. But I've made sure. Because I know Christ is coming. I know that I could die at any moment. But I know where my soul will go, not because I'm the pastor, but in spite of being the pastor. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ is my Savior. So when you pass by my casket one day, you can say, "He ain't there, he's up there." Now, Esau cried, but he cried with a false positive. Let me show you one of the saddest passages in the entire Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 7 with me real quick. Matthew chapter 7. One of the saddest passages. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. Now listen closely to these words. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is sharing with the people. But Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21, the very words that Christ shared, he says this: "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name we've done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" Brother Brian, you're trying to scare me. I'm trying to warn you. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Regardless of what you look like on the outside, regardless if you're male or female, regardless of what political party you belong to, regardless of anything, do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a definite time when you have placed your faith in the death of Christ on the cross for your sins? You placed your faith in the fact that He was buried, and you placed your faith in the very fact that He rose again. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, Brother Brian, I've gone to church. I've signed the card. I've gotten baptized. My grandma and grandpa established the church. Man, we clean it up. We do all. Okay, good. But have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what matters. I don't want my children saying, "Well, my daddy was a pastor, so therefore I'm saved." They have to personally decide for themselves, and praise God, they have. So let me ask you, is there a false positive in your soul? I'm not trying to make you question anything, but I believe the time is drawing near when the chance to make a choice will be gone forever. Brothers and sisters, is there a cross in your life? Has there been a time when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? Esau cried, but it meant nothing. When you prayed, did it mean something? False positive. False positive. Let's stand together this morning. Now, I don't know what ended up exactly happening to Esau. I can't stand here and tell you that Esau trusted God or he didn't trust God, because I'm not 100% sure. I can read and I can study, but I don't know 100%. But I know that you're here this morning. And I know that you're not here by accident. I know that God has brought you here. And you've heard God's word. You've read God's word. Now the question is there a false positive in your life? Or is there a true positive in your life? Is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Because all that's what matters. That's what matters. And I tell you because I love you, not because I've got an axe to grind. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know exactly what's going on in our lives. You know all about us, and you are the lover of our souls. God, there's not a single one of us in this room who is perfect. There's not a single one of us in this room, Lord, who has not made mistakes over and over. Even as being a Christian, we've made mistakes in our lives. But God, I pray right now that if there's an inkling of doubt in our minds, if we really wonder, did we do what you've said? That, Lord, if there is a precious soul in this room that wonders and wants to make sure, that they will, before it's eternally too late. Lord, this world is a liar. Satan is a trickster, and he's a defamer, and he's a destroyer. But you give life, he tries to take it. Now, Father, for the precious souls that are not sure of their salvation, maybe the precious souls that have never placed their faith in Christ at all, may today be the day of salvation for them. Please, God, You're the only hope we have. And I ask You, Lord, that You do the work that only You can do. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to take a moment right now and give You an opportunity. Maybe you want to whisper a prayer to the Lord right now and speak to Him. Maybe you want to come and let someone here show you how to be saved. Brother Allen, if you'd just strum your guitar for me, if you wouldn't mind. Just strum it. It doesn't matter what you strum. Just take a moment and talk to the Lord. Jesus is your only hope. He's my only hope.